in the lectionary coming up, beginning today, invites us into the book of Genesis. And this is where we're going to stay into about mid-August. That's where we're going to be for a couple months. We're going to be following the lectionary into and jumping through throughout the book of Genesis, that first book in the Bible. And so we start today, we start with Genesis 1. And Anna Cameron will be reading the scripture for us. Children, some of you know Anna really well. Miss Anna was one of your, some of you had her for Sunday school up until a couple months ago. Well, Miss Anna is going to be reading our scripture passage for us this morning.
Good morning. The scripture reading this morning comes from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Through chapter 2, verse 4. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times, and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from dark. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea, and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves above it, about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kinds. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God said that saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and all over the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Anna. I know that was a long passage, so thank you. Well, friends, it has been a challenging week. But I want to start with something enjoyable from last week. Last weekend, Rachel, Ezra, and I, we made sure, we had it on our calendars, we made sure to watch the NASA SpaceX rocket launch. I suspect some of you managed to watch that as well. This was the first U.S. astronauts that were launched from U.S. soil in 9 years, I think it was. And it was the first ever that were launched on a private commercial rocket. Two astronauts launched into space, going to dock with and join the International Space Station. Last Saturday afternoon was the launch. After it had been the rain date. It got canceled earlier in the week because of weather. So last Saturday afternoon was the launch, and then on Sunday morning, that was when they arrived and docked with the space station. And so Rachel, Ezra, and I, we had it on our calendar. We watched the launch on Saturday. And I know that there was a time when those sorts of things made everyone stop and watch the news and watch this event happen. And that's not so much the case anymore. But what you're reminded of, what you tend to forget because space doesn't seem maybe as exciting as it once did, but when you watch, what you're reminded of when you watch something like that is the true scale of things. You're looking at the rocket there waiting to launch, and it is the tallest thing for miles and miles. It's huge. But then when it launches, and they have cameras on these things now so that you get all sorts of perspectives on the flight, but as it pulls away from the Earth, a few things become readily apparent. One is that rocket that seems so huge and high and mighty, it is a speck. In the grand scheme of things, it is a speck, let alone the people on it. And two, it's actually amazing how little time it takes to get up out of the atmosphere, how it doesn't take long at all for that rocket and those astronauts to get to where, biologically speaking, humans should not be. So you get, even in those moments, you begin to get a sense of the scale of creation. And three, you're reminded that the Earth itself is beautiful. You see it from the camera on the rocket looking back as the rocket is pulling away from Earth, pulling away out of the atmosphere. You see it, the blues and the greens and the browns, and you are reminded of, you are invited to just be in awe of how stunningly beautiful it is. That's not unlike the invitation that Genesis 1 gives us. Only Genesis 1 gives it to us even more so, right? This opening passage of Scripture paints a picture of all of this even more so. This opening chapter, just feel the beauty and the awe. Because Genesis 1, it opens, and it really has a very poetic feel if we know how to listen to it. It's set up more like a song or a poem or maybe even most of all set up like a good worship liturgy. The opening of Scripture as a worship liturgy. It opens very poetically and there are these refrains that are punctuated throughout, right? So you can imagine a worshiping congregation, maybe the congregation of all creation there, joining in the refrain of, "And God saw that it was good." And God saw that it was good. Or this congregation of creation responding throughout this passage, this call into worship with the refrain, "And it was evening and morning the first day. And it was evening and morning the second day, the third day, the fourth day," right? Right? Doesn't it have a beautiful liturgical, almost call and response sort of feel to it. Because primarily, that's actually what this is, this opening passage of Scripture. This begins with an invitation. This is an invitation, a call to worship, a call to see this God that is at the beginning, end, and middle of it all. This is an invitation to worship. To worship. And worship, friends, worship is an invitation into a new way of seeing and understanding, of living and moving, of getting a truer sense of scale and perspective, a new way of being formed and transformed and understanding yourself and others in the midst of it all and your purpose and your call, because what worship does is it orients you around the one who alone speaks light into the darkness, the one alone whose very breath brings order and beauty and abundance, the one who alone speaks a firm foundation into the churning chaos, who speaks nourishment into the barren desert, who alone speaks life into the void and speaks order into the chaos. Right? But not just any kind of order, right? But what we might call a shalom kind of order. Now that word shalom is a Hebrew word that's often translated as peace, but it's actually, it's more nuanced than that. It's order and peace, but not peace in the sense of just an absence of conflict and it's order, but order that doesn't quench, but rather invites flourishing, right? Because you can have order that is stifling and damaging and even dehumanizing. But shalom is the kind of order that we read in the opening chapter of Genesis, the kind of order that God is calling and speaking and teasing out. It's not peace that is simply the absence of conflict, but rather peace that is teeming with life-giving justice and flourishing. Because that word justice just means everything connected and together the way it should be, that is the fertile ground of this life and this world and this creation that God has created and intends for it to be. God's love in action and out in public in relationship with one another in the world, that is God's shalom-type justice. And so this here opening chapter of Scripture, this image that we see, this picture that's being painted, this is an invitation to worship with all the awe that we can stand and then some. And like all good and proper invitations to worship, it is also an invitation into purpose and mission and reorienting our lives. So God created humankind in his, in God's image, it says. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. This beginning that we read of here, it opens for us, calls us into worship, it opens for us a window inviting us to see and worship this God who does this kind of stuff. But in so doing, it also opens a window inviting us to also see who we are and who our fellow human beings are. And so not just the relationship between us and God, but also the relationship between us and one another. And indeed, even between us and all the things of the heavens and the earth. And so embedded in this opening call to worship, as all good calls to worship have embedded in them, is ascending into a mission. The earth, it is proclaimed, the earth was void and formless. And if you'll allow me, because I love these words. In the Hebrew, it says, the earth was tohu vavohu. Right? You can hear in that phrase the void and confused and formlessness in those words. And darkness covered the face of the deep. The word there is the face of the taum. What another great word, right? You hear in that word a vast, deep abyss, taum. But, a wind, a breath, the spirit, right? The word there means all of those things. The wind of God, the breath of God, the spirit of God swept. The image there in the Hebrew is like the wings of a bird pushing down and stirring up. The Spirit of God hovered, pushed on, brooded over by its very force, pushing and pulling the face of the waters, the chaotic, churning waters. And then God said, as my Hebrew professor in seminary enjoyed translating this verse, then God said, be light, and bead the light. And of course, we go on from there. God continuing to call order and shalom out of the chaos, separating the waters above from the waters below, and then separating dry land from those below waters. And through that life, coming out of the dirt, filling what had been opened up. And then God teasing out day from night and night from day. And then even in the chaotic deep of the waters and the seas and the vast emptiness of the skies, more life. And then a deeper kind of life, creatures of every kind called forth from the earth that are blessed by the same voice of God. Do you see? Can you just feel, maybe? Can you feel what's going on here? This is not a story of a God who snaps fingers and suddenly there's everything there in some sort of philosophically notioned static perfection. The word perfect doesn't appear here, incidentally. Nor does it appear in the next creation story in Genesis 2 and 3. The word good appears 7 times in this passage, by the way. And God saw that it was good. 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 It was very good. The story here is not of a magician snapping fingers and everything, boom, in a sudden state of static perfection. But rather, the image here is of an artist, a painter, perhaps, at a canvas, or a sculptor in front of a slab of stone, the tohu vavohu of the empty canvas and the churning chaos of the artist's palette. And the sculptor's chisel, stirring, brooding, pressing into the depth, into the tome of the chaotic, formless rock. And throughout that, the painter and sculptor at work, and then repeatedly taking a step back and saying, it is good. It is good. And then jumping right back in as more and more beauty begins to take shape. That's the image of God at work. And then to cap it off scandalously, God then says, let us make humankind in our image. And just in case the connection of what that means isn't clear yet, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and all the animals and creeping things upon the earth. And so God created humankind in his image, the image of God. He created them. Male and female, he created them. And then God blessed them. To be blessed is to be bestowed with power. It's to be consecrated for something. Bless them to be fruitful and multiply, to fill the earth. Right? And other animals have been blessed earlier to be fruitful and multiply, but now here also to fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. Now these words, subdue and dominion, they do not mean to pillage and plunder, but they're rather more like to cultivate, to keep going what has already begun. And what has God been up to through all of this order? Shalom out of chaos. The emptiness being filled, bringing about life and filling what he has been creating. And now, scandal of scandals, one of God's very creations is imbued with God's very image and blessed, consecrated, maybe even sacredly burdened with the call to be the image of this God in this world. On and around those same days last week, when Rachel, Ezra, and I watched and found ourselves in awe of the rocket taking off, and that astronauts were docking with the International Space Station and watching it unfold there far above the Earth, and yet also, you know, not far at all in the scheme of God's creation, this endeavor of humanity, right, that International Space Station and the cooperation that takes, it invites us to see the grand scale and another perspective of our place in it. On and around those same days, we watched that. We also watched the anger and the frustration rising up in cities all over our nation, and the pain and frustration, the fear and the anger that cannot help but be there when we do not and have not cultivated and borne the image of God, work of shalom in the world. When we have allowed in our hearts, in our thinking, in our actions, in our institutions, when we have allowed the abyss and chaos of sin, of, in this case, of racism, systemic or otherwise, to have its way, when we prevent or delay or ignore the wind, the breath, the Spirit of God sweeping over the waters, the chaos of these weeks that I know many of us are feeling is compounded now as what is coming up is the results of the chaos and turmoil of racism. Which is like a fever. The anger, the frustration, the grief, the intensity of what's going on, if we are willing perhaps to see with deeper eyes the anger that is showing up, that is going out in protest, in crying for justice, the anger in the streets, is many things One of which is, it is a symptom. It is a fever of a deeper problem. Right? A fever is not a good thing. You don't want one. All things considered, you'd rather not have a fever, right? In fact, a fever can be a very dangerous thing. And so we try to find ways to mitigate or even cover up the fever so we don't have to think about it, or we can just kind of push on without dealing with it. But what a fever primarily is a symptom of something far more insidious down deep inside in the organs, in the bloodstream. And no, we don't want the fever to cause more harm. But if we only try to treat the fever, if we approach the fever as if it's the real problem, the true and actual sickness will continue to ravage the body and the fever will keep coming back. Friends, the shalom of God has fallen sick. And yes, it began in Genesis 3. It is not a new story. And in different times and in different places, it shows up in different ways. And we could, of course, list any number of ways it manifests and has manifested itself. But in our nation right now, in this moment, racism, systemic or otherwise, that's the disease that's underneath this particular fever. And it is a sickness that has been a part of our nation's story since our beginning. This notion of white supremacy that was there at the beginning. And until we get serious about addressing the disease and not primarily the fever or just wishing the fever would go away, the cycles will continue. The sickness will continue. Now the good news that's already here in this opening passage of Scripture, right here in the opening pages of Scripture, the good news is that Genesis 1, right from the get-go, tells us who this God is. The God whose wind, whose very breath, whose spirit sweeps over the churning chaos, speaking and calling light into the darkness. And the rest of Scripture, friends, the rest of Scripture tells the story of God's faithfulness to that. And the lengths that God will go to make sure that nothing can ultimately negate that. That's the promise here on page 1. And so the call of the same opening passage of Scripture, the call that follows this promise, is that Genesis 1, by inviting us into worship, by calling us to worship this God, is also calling us into the story of living into, of being image bearers of this shalom, cultivating, light-bringing, life-giving God in the world. Genesis 1 is an invitation, calling us into the healing of the world. It's an invitation and a call to be healed and to be part of the work of healing. As the wind, the breath, the Spirit of God still moves over the waters of our time and of our days. That's the promise, and that's the call of this opening passage of Scripture. And so the challenge then, the challenge, the question for each one of us is simply, will we be a part of it? Will we be a part of the healing work of God's peace and justice, of God's mercy, of God's shalom? Will we too enter in to this work of shalom, of image bearing? The work of God's shalom that beats at the heart of God's very creation. That's what it means to be an image bearer of God. To do this work, to be called into this work. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. Alleluia. Alleluia. Amen. Let's sing. Let's sing, all creatures of our God and King.